The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Web Studio, Primetime Advertising Corporation, and the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but this whole idea about a first and second coming of Jesus seems rather far-fetched to you. Besides, the ancient Jews were not expecting two comings of the Messiah, only one. As always, you're asking a great question. As always, we will get to that question and others after the news. Welcome to our program. The theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. And what could be more cultural than chicken? Chicken, after all, is as American as apple pie, hot dogs, and Chevrolet, which may be closing down, but which has been American for many decades. But automobiles are not going away anytime soon. Neither are the NASCAR races, and NASCAR brings us back to the subject of chicken. It really does. Trust me. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA for short, is upset again, this time with NASCAR, which had a party recently where participants did the chicken dance. You remember the chicken dance, that stupid dance done at every single wedding you've ever been to? Yeah, that's it. That's it. Okay, that's enough. Let's turn it off. We don't want to scare away our audience. Watching this story unfold over an early television newscast, I found myself wondering, what on earth is eating PETA this time? No pun intended. Well, I guess it was intended since I just went out of my way to say it. In any event, we already know that PETA is concerned about animal rights. They do not want to see people devour chicken. Indeed, they compare the death of chickens to the Nazi Holocaust. Still, it's hard to believe that chickens are congregating and complaining to each other about the way people mock them at dances. If there has ever been a rally of chickens speaking out against stereotypes, I must have missed it. As it turns out, the beef was of a different nature, or the chicken was of a different nature, more correctly put. It seems KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, I think they changed the name of that to Kitchen Fresh Chicken so we wouldn't know they're frying it anymore. I like the fact that they fry it, but that's besides the point. KFC, whatever you call it, was the sponsor of the NASCAR event. And this dance just reminded everyone of the sponsor, Colonel Sanders and his buds. Now, I could share my thoughts about this subject, but frankly, it's only making me hungry for a bucket of extra crispy.
When Bob Siegel speaks about PETA and the protection of chickens, he means no disrespect.
Thank you, Dan. We always appreciate the special assistance of Disclaimer Dan.
Indeed. Bob's decision to order a bucket of extra crispy intends no disrespect for original recipe.
Well, I know PETA thinks their cause is the most important thing in the world, but believe it or not, there are one or two more important things going on, starting with something chilling. Absolutely chilling and unprecedented. Never before has a United States president attempted such a shameless usurping of power. Now, mind you, Obama hasn't committed to the action yet. He's far too smart to stop without looking. He wants to first say which way the wind of public opinion blows. He wants to please the far left by showing them that he is taking their demands seriously, hoping they'll remember and appreciate the gesture, even if he ultimately decides not to follow the yellow brick road after all. But the very fact that our new president even considers such a dreadful course proves that we are no longer living in the country we grew to love. Many do not grasp the horrific implications. Very few seem to comprehend exactly what is going on. They may have heard bits and pieces on the news, but they have not assimilated the real picture. They do not understand that the fabric of our country is unraveling before our very eyes. What is going on? Okay, in a nutshell, our current administration may prosecute attorneys and judges who gave legal opinions to the Bush administration about what could or could not be considered torture under the Geneva Convention. The reason it was a matter of opinion is that that convention did not spell out every detail or anticipate every conceivable mode of pressure toward a captured enemy. They said they were against torture. They didn't define what torture was. And so between Bush and the legal experts, questions were going on about waterboarding, bugs in boxes, nudity during harsh interrogations. All of it was on the table of discussion. Now, look, let me stop here for a moment. I can understand how different individuals will have legitimate opposing views on this volatile subject, and I respect that. But well-meaning people of different opinions must come together from time to time because, people, tyranny is tyranny, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, whether you're a conservative or a liberal. What kind of precedent does this set? The lawyers were merely giving an opinion, for crying out loud. Look, please understand, Obama does not even plan on prosecuting the CIA agents who administered the harsh attempts to get information from captured terrorists. Instead, it was the lawyers who were asked by their own president to give an opinion. They are the ones who might go to jail. What kind of message does this send to our enemies? What kind of statement does this make about free speech? Those who support the new, exciting adventure do so by saying, well, we cannot compromise our own constitution by resorting to torture. Catching on? Chasing after a person who practiced his right of free speech by offering a legal opinion does not strike them as unconstitutional. Oh, no. And a new president going on a witch hunt against the previous administration does not concern them. But interrogation techniques which prevented a major 9/11 style attack on the city of Los Angeles, that concerns them. Allow me to rekindle a few memories of a time when conversations like this only dealt with facts. Fact. This whole hornet's nest began because our sitting president released classified memos in the middle of a war. Fact. Memos showing the effectiveness of the torture, the terrorist attacks prevented, and the amount of lives saved were not declassified. Fact, the Bush administration took no action without consulting the law. You may agree with the law, or you may not like the law, but they did not break the law. If our country wants to rewrite some codes to spell out in so many words exactly what is or is not torture, fine. But at the moment, nothing illegal was done. You may hate waterboarding. So do I. You may find it disgusting and despicable. So do I. So work to pass a law against waterboarding. But the very idea of a new administration changing the law, then going back and criminalizing those who practice the old law, reminds me very much of a new dictator coming into power and then killing off or imprisoning the old guard. Coincidentally, Obama doesn't seem too worried about palling around with dictators, so maybe the idea of becoming a dictator himself doesn't seem so distasteful to the guy. Fact, Congress was informed about the practices and gave approval. Yes, they did. That's why Nancy Pelosi, if you watch her in the news these days, who was excited about the merry little hunt until it came back to bite her on her double-talking tongue, is now doing a song and dance. No, not the chicken dance, but a song and dance. Evidently, she heard about the waterboarding, but does not recall actually giving approval. Hey, I believe her, but I also believe Janet Napolitano is keeping the country safe, so don't go by me. Fact, Islamic terrorists view this whole new wrinkle as a sign of weakness on our part. Do you understand that a sign of weakness is always a signal for radical Muslims to plan new terrorist attacks? This is not an accusation. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is simply what the people who declared war against us are saying, and they say it all the time. It's just that we aren't listening to them. Fact, our Constitution does not guarantee rights to non-citizens. True, there are limited rights to foreign travelers or temporary residents who get arrested on American soil, but captured enemy soldiers and terrorists are a different story. Also, there is a difference between the harsh treatment of a proven terrorist and the harsh treatment of a mere suspect. Nobody was being forced to confess guilt. The guilt had long since been established. It was information about impending terrorist attacks that our CIA was seeking. Who will want to speak their mind anymore? What kinds of aggressive actions will the CIA be willing to undertake in the future? Maybe they're only going after the lawyers now, but nobody knows who they're going to go after next. So who's going to want to do anything? They're all going to want to be politically correct and play it safe, knowing that any new administration at any time can label them as criminals retroactively. Let me end, folks, where I started, because, again, I cannot say this too many times. It's chilling, absolutely chilling and unprecedented. Never before has a U.S. president attempted such a shameless usurping of power. Jefferson and Adams would be turning in their grave, but then maybe not. Someday, Obama may make that illegal, too. I'll tell you who else might be turning in his grave. George S. Patton. Now, most people are familiar with the infamous World War II incident of American General Patton slapping a cowardly soldier who sought refuge of an army hospital because the shelling was shaking his nerves. Possibly your knowledge of the story does not come from an actual history book. Undoubtedly, it's because you enjoyed the classic Academy Award-winning movie, Patton, starring the brilliant George C. Scott and co-starring Carl Malden as Patton's friend and fellow war hero, General Omar Bradley. The movie was meticulously well-researched, with Bradley himself still alive while it was being filmed in 1969, working as a consultant on the project, but the movie did take a few, very few, but a few artistic liberties. Still, as the old saying goes, truth is often stranger than fiction. Patton actually slapped two soldiers, not one. One of them had gone AWOL and had been caught. The other actually retreated in the middle of a battle. According to military law of the time, the fellow who retreated from the battlefield could have been shot immediately by his superior officer and nobody would have blinked. The captured AWOL soldier could have been legally executed in front of a firing squad. Instead, Patton merely slapped them. That's not all. Get this. His hand never even touched the men. Patton took off his glove to hit them, and only the glove made contact with them. But when news of these two incidents reached the United States home front, people were outraged that a general would slap his own men. Patton got in trouble for using a glove on two individuals who might just as easily have been executed without anyone giving the matter a second thought. In addition to his bad reputation in the press, Patton had to suffer the ultimate humiliation, being relieved of command. Not long afterwards, General Eisenhower gave him a new command, and Patton went on to become one of the most heroic, beloved, and controversial generals of all time. The Russians and the Germans were absolutely dumbfounded. How could these eccentric Americans get worked up over an incident so minor as an officer slapping a couple of cowardly soldiers? Looking back, the World War II American public reminds us of present-day America, with a couple of notable exceptions. Today, Patton would never have been granted a new command. He would have been retired from the military altogether. And today, some attorney out to make a name for himself would sue Patton. As for whether we would win the modern war without a current Patton, I suppose only time will tell. Website without a lot of cost and trouble? Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to tell you about Web Studio. Web Studio allows people to create their own websites simply and easily without knowing HTML. With Web Studio, you avoid the learning curve of front page and the expense of a web designer. Web Studio has 14 different galleries that contain graphics, sounds, and everything else you need. For more information about Web Studio, go to webstudio.com.
Hey, this is Lori K. Lewis, a frequent co-host on The Bob Siegel Show, Talk Radio 1170 on KCBQ. If you have questions or comments during this radio broadcast, please call Bob at this toll-free number, 1-888-344-1170. Again, the number is 1-888-344-1170. We'd like to hear what you have to say.
Welcome back to Intelligent Talk 1170 KCBQ. A couple of events coming up. First, I will be substitute hosting the Rick Amato show tomorrow evening. I've done this a lot. It's an honor to do that for Rick. I will be here tomorrow evening at KCBQ from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock p.m., and I will tell you more about that later on. However, there's a special live event that I also want to tell you about that's held right here in San Diego. If you don't live in San Diego, tough. Travel here or suck it up. Anyway, on May 14th, Thursday evening, I will be debating civil rights attorney Eddie Tabash. Eddie is a well-known and outspoken atheist. As you know, I am an outspoken ex-atheist, one who was raised as an atheist and converted to Christianity in college. The topic of our debate: does the Christian God exist? Meaning, of course, does the God of the Bible exist? Eddie will attempt to discredit the existence of any God whatsoever, of course, but he is especially down on the Trinitarian God and the idea of salvation through Jesus Christ. One of the emotional arguments Eddie likes to bring up, and I've watched one of his debates to get to know him a little bit, one of the things he likes to bring to the table is that his own mother, Eddie is Jewish, and his own mother was an Auschwitz survivor from Hungary. And he wonders how a loving God could have allowed the Holocaust. That, of course, is a very understandable question. He's also operating under the assumption that Jews who were murdered by the Nazis are now suffering a worse torment in hell for not believing in Jesus. Now, I think he's embracing some mistaken ideas about God's mercy and a misunderstanding of what it really means to accept Jesus. Be that as it may, I am Jewish myself, as most of you know. I'm a Jewish Christian. And if you've been following this program, you realize how often I've spoken out against current anti-Semitism and past anti-Semitism. So to say that I, of all people, empathize with Eddie is to make the understatement of the century. Still, the evil of human beings during the Holocaust does not suggest to me that God doesn't exist. It suggests to me that when the Bible talks about our evil foreign natures, it isn't kidding around. Anyway, should be an interesting debate. It will be held at Skyline Church in Rancho San Diego area Thursday evening, May 14th from 7 o'clock p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m. Now, please mark your calendars. There is no admission charge. The last time I did a major debate in San Diego, one of the perks was to meet so many of my listeners who came up and introduced themselves, and I would love to meet you. Please come out and support me in this debate. If you're Christians, pray for this debate. If you're not Christians, pray for this debate. If you're an atheist and you don't believe in God, pray for the debate. I know that's a contradiction in terms, but pray anyway. Eddie Tabash debates Bob Siegel. Once again, the question, does the Christian God exist? Thursday night, May 14th at 7 o'clock p.m., Skyline Church in Rancho San Diego. More detailed information on this can be found by going to my website right on the front page, bobsiegel.net. That's Bob Siegel, S-I-E-G-E-L.net. And there's a link where you can click into a more detailed website of all about the debate, give you all the info you need, directions, etc. So much for future events. Now, let me talk to you about a past event, but it wasn't too long ago. It was last week, last Monday, specifically. The United Nations sponsored a conference on racism. Of course, being against racism. But one of their featured speakers was Iranian President Ahmadinejad, the guy who says the Holocaust never happened, And then also says, however, if we had a Holocaust, it wouldn't be such a bad idea. And frankly, I'm going to start one. Putting aside the disbelief, utter disbelief that our peace-loving UN would ever allow such a demagogue to even address them at all, this time they actually outdid even themselves by allowing him to speak during the same week as Israel's Holocaust Remembrance Day. And what was his topic? I'll give you three guesses, and the first two don't count. His topic was the racist state of Israel. Fortunately, some people walked out in disgust while the snake spewed forth its venom. Still, I just have to ask, isn't it high time we gently, carefully, methodically dismantled the United Nations? What good is being accomplished by this organization? How exactly are they keeping our world safer? It may have been a good idea once, but the United Nations' actual performance record is about as successful as the Ford Pinto, and it's high time they joined the Pinto by being banished into the twilight zone of bad memories or long, ghastly nightmares from which we have all finally awakened. Let's change gears a little bit. When you're in the kind of business that I'm in, people send you things all the time. I always get forwards. And sometimes they look panicky. Sometimes they look like conspiracy theories. With the internet, you always have to be careful to check things. Well, something was sent to me a couple of weeks ago, and I did finally have time to check it out and authenticate it and find its source to be reliable. This is from Canada Free Press. The date is April 19th, 2009. And it says this, I'm not going to read the entire article because on talk radio, you just don't want to read through an entire article and bore people to death. But let me read some of this. I think you'll find it pretty interesting. It says, this is regarding the tea parties that were held on tax day. It says, even as average Americans were planning to get out in towns and cities to demonstrate against big government and big taxes, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, surveillance was being unleashed upon them. In fact, unsuspecting tax day Tea Party participants were being closely watched during the demonstration planning stages in a covert operation that began on or about March 23rd, 2009. The article continues. If you, one of the estimated 750,000 Americans who attended one of about 600 Tea Parties last week, you might have seen media cameras covering the event. Media cameras, however, were not the only cameras taking video at these events, something that has at least one current FBI agent concerned over the future of America. According to this agent, the same agent who provided the Northeast Intelligence Network exclusively the unreleased photographs of the 11 missing Egyptian students who were the subject of FBI Bolo in August 2006, placed his concerns for two patriots of the U.S. over his own career when he confided that covert surveillance was planned and performed at each of the tea parties that took place last Sunday. And now they quote from this FBI agent who obviously left his name anonymous. Listen to what I am saying, stated the source during the interview with Doug Hagman, founder of the NEIN, the Department of Homeland Security intelligence assessment that is receiving so much attention is just the tip of the proverbial iceberg, and the true patriotic citizens of this country are on the Titanic. This is what bothers me, but it goes far beyond that assessment. There have been very significant changes made over the last few years that redirect the focus and assets of the intelligence community internally. These changes have greatly accelerated under this administration, and the threats have been redefined to include those who used to be patriots. It's not only chilling, but absolutely insulting to the God-fearing Americans. Those were the words of this FBI agent in a story that he's doing for the Canada Free Press. I'll continue reading. According to this unimpeachable source, a single-page confidential directive issued by the FBI headquarters in Washington, D.C., was sent to each of the 56 field offices located across the United States on or about March 23, 2009, instructing the special agents in charge of those offices to verify the date, time and location of each Tea Party within their region and supply that information to FBI headquarters in Washington. I will continue reading this chilling story from the Canada Free Press about FBI surveillance of the Tea Parties. That's who the new terrorists are now, folks. It's not Al-Qaeda anymore. Not really. It's those of you that are patriotic. Because if you're real patriotic, that's not a very good thing. You're prime for terrorism. We'll be right back. This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle, so when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785, that's 447-8785, for W&S Electric Incorporated, license number 480539, W&S Electric. Welcome back to our program. I was reading something pretty chilling lately. I've been calling a lot of the news chilling lately. I don't like to keep using the same word, but the news has been chilling. I can't even keep up with it. Such a roller coaster. The fabric of our country is changing before our eyes. Anyway, I was reading a story from the Canadian Free Press. You know, Canada's not really known as being a country sympathetic to the United States lately. But this is from the Canadian Free Press. And they're talking about an inside source, an FBI agent who's telling us what the FBI is doing and how they were watching these tea parties. Now, I'm not saying that there's any problem with the FBI paying attention to some demonstrations, but it's the level of concern they seem to have that's kind of getting to me. Anyway, I'll continue reading this story from the Canadian Free Press. The source, meaning the FBI agent, stated this correspondence termed the Tea Party's political demonstrations and added that the dissemination of the directive was very tightly controlled. Not all agents were privy to this correspondence, stated the source, who compared the dissemination to an older do-not-file classification. In addition to obtaining or confirming the location and time of each demonstration, each field office was instructed to obtain or confirm the identity of the individuals involved in the actual planning and condemnation of the event in each specific region and include the local or regional internet website address, if any. The information collected by region was then reportedly sent to FBI headquarters. I'll continue. Again, I'm not reading the whole article, but I'll read the last little nugget of this story from the Canadian Free Press, FBI surveillance of the tea parties. This, again, is a quotation from the FBI agent himself, who wisely didn't give his name. He says, "The implications to the citizens of the U.S. are ominous. It seems that there is a hostile political agenda coming from Washington that characterizes the supporters of our constitutional freedoms as threats to our domestic security, which is totally absurd. The redirection, the refocusing of domestic threats from Al-Qaeda cells to flag-waving right-wingers is something that has gone from a murmur a few years ago to a roar today." Okay, I'll say it again. That's pretty chilling. And of course, here I am like a dope reading it over the air. Who knows if people are even watching me? Lately, there have been a lot of hits on my website from Washington, D.C. I hope that's just conservatives who enjoy reading my blogs and listening to the show. But hey, folks, if you ever hear that Bob Siegel committed some crime, I didn't. If I have a mysterious disappearance, I didn't mean to go anywhere. If you ever hear that I committed suicide, I'm telling you right now that I love my life, okay? Maybe this can be used as evidence. If they frame anything on me, I didn't do it. What I did was I read this thing over the air. That I did. Okay. Well, We have a special guest on the air. He's not just a special guest. He's a friend of mine. His name is Mark Miller, and he's also a recent sponsor to our show. We're very happy to have him, especially with today's economy. One of our ads toward the end of the show is from Oso Miller Pacific. Mark Miller, welcome to our program.
Hi, Bob. How's it going?
Good. So you're on your way to Arizona right now.
Well, you know, sometimes you don't get things started as quickly as you wish you were, so I haven't left the house yet.
Oh, you haven't? Well, that will explain why when I called your cell phone, you didn't hear it. Okay.
Yes.
Are you calling us from a landline then?
Yes.
Oh,
yep.
Wonderful.
Yep.
Boy, you know what I like about cell phones on the radio? Nothing.
Anyway. Yeah, no kidding.
Now, Mark, you went to a tea party 2 weeks ago, or I guess on the 15th.
That's
where
right.
Was this? Was this local in San Diego or somewhere else?
Yes, it was on the at the post office on Midway.
On the Midway?
Not on the Midway, on Midway Boulevard.
Oh, Midway Boulevard. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
That would have been interesting if they actually had it on the Midway.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, future tea party, somebody.
Yeah.
But I didn't plan it because I don't want the FBI knocking at my door. I didn't plan it. I'm just suggesting. Now, did you go with your wife and family?
No, I actually went by myself.
Okay. Your fam didn't want to go along with you, or they were just too busy?
No, I just I decided to go by myself. I didn't want to, you know, have kids and things. I wanted to take pictures and really kind of check out the scene. And it was quite a scene, too.
And, yeah, there's no sense all of you going to jail when you use it.
Exactly.
So, okay, tell me what it was like. I wished I had gone to one, and if they have some again, I will go to one, but I was not there. Be our eyes and ears for those who didn't go to the tea parties and they're getting this information kind of filtered for them off CNN and MSNBC and the like. Tell us, as somebody who was honest to goodly there, what was the experience like for you?
Well, I got there about maybe 4:30 in the afternoon, and there was quite a few people just in front of the post office. But by 6 o'clock, it was, you know, there was, I heard on the news somewhere around 3,000 to 5,000 people there, and it was great. I was really impressed with the amount of people that showed up and the amount of good, positive patriotism that was shown. It was right on Midway Boulevard, so a lot of cars and trucks and things were driving down the street as well, and everybody was honking and waving and thumbs up and taking pictures with their cell phone, and it was something else. There were lots of American flags, and you know, it was truly a bunch of very good, positive, patriotic people that were out there exercising their right to gather and have this kind of a protest. But, you know, I talked to quite a few people that were there, and much like myself, you know, they'd never been to a protest before. They'd never, you know, wave signs and flags and gathered out in front of public spaces and things like this. So I thought that was pretty interesting, too. And I was glad to see a invigoration and activation of I guess what you could say, you know, kind of the majority of this country getting out and actually doing something. I thought that was great.
It's fantastic. Now, I know that different tea parties had different amounts of people, some as many as 5,000, others only the hundreds. Any idea how many were at this one in San Diego?
Yeah. I heard on the news somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 people.
3,000 and 5,000. Then we had one of the bigger ones.
Yeah. It was a very, very good turnout.
Okay. Now I need to ask you a couple of questions.
Oh, sure.
Did you see Janine Garofalo's interview on MSNBC with Keith Olbermann by any chance?
I saw a snippet of it.
Okay. She claimed, first of all, that these were all people who hated Obama. Now, I had heard that even some Obama supporters were there, but they just didn't like trillion-dollar deficits. Did you meet any Democrats or Obama supporters while you were there?
No. But I think it's important to know, you know, I've heard on various websites and various interviews with Olbermann and whatnot, you know, it's a racial thing, how it's, you know, it's a black president that people were out protesting. And I've seen websites with articles talking about right-wing conservatives, and then they'll have a picture of neo-Nazis waving the you know, swastika flag. And I think that is just absolute proof that the left is scared to death of an energized right-wing effort.
Scared to death or brainwashed. Mark, could you stay with us over the break?
Oh, you bet.
Okay, my guest, Mark Miller, who attended a tea party right here in San Diego of 4,000 to 5,000 people, they estimate. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
How many times have you heard the phrase, "they're all the same," applied to local contractors? It is unfortunate that a few can tarnish the reputations of many, but it sure is nice when you find a contractor with godly principles. But what if they only do floors or only the painting? What if you want to build a whole new home? Or you want someone to fully complete your remodel or tenant improvements? You need ProBuilt. Serving San Diego since 1987, residential and commercial, quality work completed on time. Local Christian businessman and president of ProBuilt, Jim Bell, said, "When people pay you to do a job, they simply want you to do the job. They expect quality work, and they expect it to be done on time. We do that at ProBuilt." For references and dozens of pictures of both residential and commercial work, visit our website, ProBuiltInc.com. That's ProBuiltInc.com. Or call our El Cajon office at 619-593-2965. We're fully bonded and insured. California State License Number 567925. ProBuilt.
I'd like to remind all of my listeners that the Bob Siegel Show has a sister program on our sister station, KPRZ 1210 on the dial. Every Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30, you can hear City Voice. On this provocative program, my good friend George Runyon interviews a different local Christian ministry every week. You can listen to the show while driving to church, and don't be surprised, you may find it so interesting that you'll stay in the parking lot continuing to listen and skipping those Sunday school donuts. That's City Voice with George Runyon, every Sunday morning from 9 o'clock to 9:30 on our sister station, KPRZ 1210. But right now, you're listening to KCBQ 1170. Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm here with Mark Miller, also one of our sponsors of Oso Miller Pacific, in the interest of full disclosure. But the reason he's on right now is that he was at one of our tea parties. Mark, welcome back to our program.
Thanks, Bob.
Now, Janine Garofalo also said on MSNBC that these were all white people. Did you see any people of color there? Forgive me for asking such boneheaded questions.
Yes.
Were there a lot of them?
There was a pretty good representation of all ethnicities there, Hispanic, African-Americans, Asians. So there was a good mix. It wasn't just 100% white people, you know, white men wearing ties. There was a full representation.
So do you have any theory as to how somebody like her says that with a straight face and gets away with this stuff? Because I'm sure a lot of people will go to YouTube, watch your interview, and still believe what she said.
Well, absolutely. And I think it's, you know, the left just doesn't want to admit that the vast majority of this country are good Christian American patriots that aren't going to watch our government taken over by this current administration. And, you know, so they've been the vocal ones with Code Pink and other entities like that. They've been the vocal ones out doing the protesting. And now it's our turn, and I don't think they know what to do. I don't think they were prepared for this kind of turnout for these events. So I think it's going to be interesting to see as the Tea Parties go into the next phase. I know there's a July 4th National Tea Party effort going on in May. I believe it's May 16th. I could be wrong, but there's another San Diego gathering. So I don't see this slowing down. I don't see it. I don't see the momentum slacking at all. I think, in fact, that it's actually becoming stronger because now people that might have been hesitant to come out for the tea parties are going, "Hey, whoa, this is great. I'm not alone. There are others that feel the way I do, and they're not afraid to go out and let the world know how they feel."
Did you feel it gave you some hope? Maybe it's the first that you've had in the first 100 days of the Obama administration?
It did, yes. And, you know, if there would have been this type of involvement during the election, I think if we could have come up with a, you know, somebody that might have been a little bit better prepared to take on a young, charismatic person like Obama, you know, we would have taken this election by a landslide. And it also seems to me that the liberals are very concerned about trying to get as much done as possible before 2010 elections. And, you know, so I find that pretty ironic that he has done so much in such a short amount of time to pass so many left-wing, you know, borderline socialist types of efforts.
Well, that's because government organizations take on a life of their own, and even if the Republicans took back Congress, good luck getting rid of some of this stuff.
Well, exactly. I mean, yeah, there's going to be a lot of damage to be recovered from.
That is absolutely, and that's assuming that the Republicans even have the guts to do it, which they didn't do the 8 years that they were in office, or the Congress was in office even longer than that. That's the years with Bush. Now, Mark, I thought Fox did a pretty fair job covering it, even though there were people at Fox on both sides of this. But when I watched CNN's coverage, it seemed like they went out of their way to find the nuts. The guy that was holding up a sign that said Obama's another Hitler, the guy that was screeching with the whiny, twitty voice, the person that just looked like a freak. It sounded like when you first started talking, you didn't see too many people like that, that they seemed pretty sane and level-headed.
They did, very much so. They just, you know, they look like a slice of Americana that you usually don't see, you know, at these events. You know, they look like, I talked to quite a few people. They were business owners and there were, you know, employees. And it was interesting. I thought that, you know, the vast majority of people showed up at around 5:30 or 6, which to me meant they had to get off work before going to this event. So I think everybody was, you know, it was a lot of taxpayers, a lot of people that are just fed up with the amount of taxation and putting this country into debt that will, you know, hopefully not be irreversible, but certainly I think it's certainly something that the, you know, a good section of America isn't going to put up with. And
yeah.
I think that's what happened on April 15th across the nation.
And it truly was of the magnitude of another Boston Tea Party. This is very much in the spirit of the Boston Tea Party that protested the British and helped to get our original revolution going.
Yes, yes, yeah. But there wasn't any...
Nothing violent like that.
Yeah, no. There wasn't any inappropriate action. There wasn't any, you know, the right-wing activists are supposed to be hate-filled if you listen to MSNBC and these other broadcasts. There was no hate. The only thing that was prevalent was just a feeling of frustration and not going to put up with this anymore.
So unlike the 15 people that gathered around Cindy Sheehan and on other occasions with Code Pink and yelled and screamed, and the media felt the need to come out and cover that and talk about how brave they were, you didn't really see anything like that. You saw a group of some 4,000 to 5,000, and they were very peaceful.
Yes, very much so.
So they hadn't learned how to burn down buildings like they did in the 60s, huh?
No, there was no burning of Obama effigies or, you know, anything like that.
What about the tea bags? I know that some of these places, even if they weren't dumping tea in the river like the original Boston Tea Party, they did some symbolic things. Were there anything done with tea at all?
No, not much. Some people had, you know, tea bags hanging off their ball cap brims, that kind of thing. But the actual boxes and boxes of tea bags, like I think happened in Washington, didn't happen here at San Diego.
Now, you mentioned that there was a good time of fellowship and interaction. Were there speeches given for the time that you were there, too?
No, not really. There were a few people with bullhorns and things like that.
What about singing? Was there music?
Yes. Yeah, there was a lot of patriotic music and, you know, playing of patriotic songs, national anthem, that kind of thing.
That's terrible, Mark. Well, the next thing you know, the Gestapo's going to be at our door and we're going to go the way of Germany, that people actually got together and they were patriotic for their country?
Yes.
How could you associate with a group like that?
Oh, I don't know. Well, you know, I find it amazing. I was so filled with pride of, you know, feeling very good about this movement, thinking that, you know, I think we've got everything pretty well covered. And then I got to work the next morning and the article on the internet talked about Obama's speech at, I think it was Georgetown, where the White House protocol officers and whatnot made sure that everything in the chapel where he spoke, anything that had to do with Christianity, was covered up and there's certain camera angles. And I thought, wow, you know.
Yeah, and yet he used his Christianity to get elected.
Yeah. So is this a direct attack on the Christianity, the Christian component of this country? It seemed to me like it was.
It seems so, unfortunately. Mark, thank you so much, my friend, for calling in. Keep up the good and the brave work.
Yes, you too, Bob.
Okay.
Thanks for everything you do.
Have a good Sunday. Yep. We'll be right back. Good projects don't just happen. Good projects are a result of a team of dedicated professionals, owners, architects, and contractors striving toward a common goal. Make OMP a part of your team. If you're looking for professional, knowledgeable experience for your construction project team, Oso Miller Pacific should be your first call. For over 20 years, Mark Miller has been providing project management and constructive services throughout San Diego and Southern California. As president of Oso Miller Pacific, Mark continues this tradition of providing the most professional services in the industry to the healthcare, commercial, and government construction markets. Oso Miller Pacific provides a full range of pre-construction services, including definition of needs, design team selection, concept budget generation, and construction services. This full range of services is what sets Oso Miller Pacific apart from its competition. Visit their website at osomillerpacific.com. That's www.osomillerpacific.com or call the offices at 619-449-0633. Again, the number is 619-449-0633. Good projects don't just happen. Call Oso Miller Pacific. This is Bob Siegel inviting you to tune in for the Rick Amato Show four nights a week here on 1170 KCBQ. Rick stays on top of the issues local and national. He also does some of the most stimulating interviews you've ever heard. That's the Rick Amato Show, Monday through Thursdays from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. here on Intelligent Talk 1170 KCBQ. You can also find Rick on AmatoTalk.com. Well, the good news is that whatever direction our society goes, someday the return of Jesus Christ will restore our planet to the ethics and splendor God originally intended. Nobody knows when this will happen. It may or may not happen in our generation, but it will happen. I've had many discussions over the years with fellow Jews who do not like the fact that I call Jesus the Messiah, and they have many reasons, but high on the list is the whole notion of a second coming. And I told you at the top of the hour that we would get to this. The concept of a Messiah who needs to arrive in Israel only to leave and return again seems rather bizarre to my Jewish friends. Interestingly enough, the Old Testament gives an account of Elijah the prophet who was taken into heaven without experiencing death. At the end of the book of Malachi, last book in the Old Testament, we are told that Elijah the prophet will return before the day of the Lord, which has traditionally been understood by Jews as the coming of the Messiah. In other words, Elijah will visit us before the Messiah, warning us to get ready. He will herald in the Messiah. Orthodox Jews do believe in a second coming of Elijah. As a matter of fact, tradition allows a place for him at the Passover table every year, just in case this happens to be the year he makes his entrance. Anyway, this floating little thought made its way into my brain. If Elijah can come twice, why can't the Messiah? Got some email questions here, and you can always send us an email question at bobsiegel.net, questions at bobsiegel, S-I-E-G-E-L.net. This is from Chris in El Cajon. He writes, are you still grad? Glad you taught yourself some Greek. What do you use it for? Have you ever read any of the New Testament in the original Greek? That would be most exciting. I imagine you could also read Plato and other Greeks in the original too. Oh, Chris, in my dreams. Only in my dreams. Thank you for the flattery. It's just not true of me. But anyway, I'll continue with reading what Chris has to say. He says, is ancient biblical Greek very different from modern Greek? What do you think of learning Latin? From a Christian perspective, I can't see any reason since the original texts weren't in Latin. It doesn't make sense to read a Bible in Latin versus a Bible in English, right? Signed, Chris. Well, first of all, Chris, I agree with you actually about the Latin. It is an extinct language, and the original documents of the Bible were not written in Latin. I mean, I know doctors still read it and study it and sometimes write prescriptions in it. But it was the Catholic Church that considered its traditions as important as Scripture, and many of their early writers and people putting their traditions down on paper wrote in Latin, and that's why the Catholic Church developed this idea that studying Latin is very important. Of course, Latin once was the language of ancient Rome, and the Roman Catholic Church grew out of Rome. I'll bet you knew that. Also, their Vulgate was a Latin scripture translation by Jerome, one of the early church fathers. It's considered an extremely important document to the Catholic Church. But back to the Greek New Testament, the New Testament was written in a kind of language called Common Greek or Koine Greek. That was the common language, the language of the marketplace and the courts. It is much different from classical Greek, the Greek that Plato wrote. Now, many of the words, of course, are the same. It's like the relationship between a language and a dialect. Modern Greek, the Greek they speak today, is different, just as modern Hebrew is different. Hebrew is very interesting because that had become a completely extinct language. Greek had not, and Hebrew was revised as the language when Israel became a nation again. But anyway, modern Greek and modern Hebrew are very different, mostly because as time goes by, new words simply come on the scene. For example, how could there have been an ancient word for computer? How could there have been an ancient word for iPod, television set, radio, airplane, rocket ship, McDonald's, President Obama? Now, I'm glad I taught myself some Greek, and I wish I had time to completely master it, but I've had to prioritize the limited time for ministry. I can read it. That is, I can look at the hieroglyphics and pronounce them. And yes, I have read, that is, I have both read and comprehended some entire New Testament passages in Greek. As a general rule, I can say I muddled my way through most of the sentences. Muddle, very much being the operative word. I would never, ever, Chris, make the statement, I know Greek. I'm only comfortable saying I know a little. This next letter is from Judah. He says, Bob, I'm enjoying your posts and blogs and such. I really like the one where you said that people who think Hitler was a Christian are either ignorant of Christianity, 20th century history, or both. Well, Judah and others, I hope you can come to my debate because I'll bet you my opponent will get up there and say that Adolf Hitler was a Christian. He wasn't, of course, but people say that all the time. Regarding my suggestion that the United Nations be closed down, Mike from Champaign, Illinois writes, good luck. Even George Bush wouldn't push for that. What a bunch of idiots, eh? I guess that's what we expect from a country that bongs Miss California from the Miss USA title because she took a traditional biblical stand on marriage between a man and a woman. Well, speaking of Miss USA, my friend Greg Jarvis, who has been on the show before, writes this from Missouri about the whole Miss America pageant scene. But before I read Greg's comments, actually, many of you have been writing me and expressing your opinion about this recent travesty and assault on free speech. But some of you have also asked why you've seen no blog from your old pal Bob or radio discussion from me so far on this subject. Well, it's not because I don't have an opinion about it. You probably knew that already. The reason, frankly, is that there are so many key, important news items going on right now. I've had to be selective about what to talk about or what to blog about or what to not talk about. Not that that PETA chicken story was all that important, but I have to have a little fun once in a while or I'll go crazy. Besides, even that story does speak volumes about where we are as a society. In any event, I will be blogging about Miss America tomorrow. If you don't get my blog, you can read them every morning. BobSiegel.townhall.com. Also, I will be discussing it tomorrow night, Monday evening, once again, from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock. I will substitute host the Rick Amato Show here on KCBQ. So join me tomorrow night as we discuss Miss America and many other recent news items. Meanwhile, I like what my friend Greg said, and I want to share his thoughts with you, or as many of them as I can in the time we have left. Well, we don't have much time. Well, I got to start it out for you because I like the way he starts it. He says, don't know if you've heard about this, but I was asked about this yesterday and hadn't really heard or seen anything on this. Yeah, Greg, I think we've heard a little about it. Actually, he writes a very profound article, and I'll read it maybe tomorrow night on the Rick Amato Show. So now you have to tune in. Rick Amato Show, 9 to 11. Of course, I will be back with you next week as well on my own program, 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock. You are always welcome. Your questions are welcome, too.
Thank you for listening to The Bob Siegel Show. The views and opinions are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. The Bob Siegel Show was brought to you in part by the Law Office of Thomas Pinkerton, helping infertile families have children. Tom Pinkerton would like to invite you to help Bob expand his radio program by donations or sponsorship. For more information about Bob's ministry, go to www.bobsiegel.net. Here, you can read Bob's articles and get information about Bob's books. That's Bob Siegel, SIEGEL.net.